hey, contractors, I'm hosting a web class that'll take the unpredictability out of your business growth. You see, since 2015, we've tracked the growth of over 1,500 businesses just like yours in one of the longest running analysis of successful contractors in North America. We had unrestricted access to their financials, their operations, their management decisions, their personal habits, and all their biases. And we did this for about 30 months per member that we worked with. And we uncovered six, I would say, pretty unexpected patterns shared by the most profitable 7-, 8-, and 9-figure contractors. So tune in to discover our findings and learn how to scale up your business without working more. Click the link in the description and I'll see you there. Hey everyone, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. If you're a business owner stuck in the day-to-day whirlwind and kind of wondering, how do you reclaim your time back? Today's episode is going to be your blueprint. We're joined by Corey Byron, founder of Vancity Electric and a Breakthrough Academy member for over 7 years. Since joining, Corey has doubled his gross profit, not by working more hours, but by installing smart systems that have taken the heavy lifting off of him. In this episode, he unpacks the exact systems that took his customer journey from a reactive chaos machine to more of a streamlined process. From customer onboarding automations to virtual quoting tools to follow-up that actually is closing more jobs. And as an added bonus, Corey talks a lot about his client guide that's made a massive impact on his sales process. I got him to include it, which you can grab in the link in the description. So let's dive in with Corey. You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Mr. Corey Byron, welcome to the show, buddy.
Yo, thank you for having me. Huge privilege, man.
Yeah, I've got lots of stuff planned for us. Super stoked to be able to do this with you. It's been how many years? I brought you into BTA. How many years have you been in Breakthrough Academy now?
I've been saying 7. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's like a fishing story. It just keeps getting bigger. But yeah, I'm telling everyone 7 years.
You've done a lot, man. I remember meeting with you. Was it Tim Hortons? Where did we meet? Tim Hortons? I can't remember where we sat down and talked.
Cactus Club. Abbotsford. You had your MacBook out, showed me the MVP file. Yeah.
I probably ordered a modern bowl with avocado. You wouldn't remember that, but I know. That's all I order when I'm there. They no longer have it. Anyway. Good, dude. Well, we've got a jam-packed episode. We're going to get into all things systems, customer journey. We're going to talk through all the stuff. But I thought it'd be cool. Just let's start with like your background. We have a case study on this too, which you guys should check out in the link in the description. We did a whole case study on you. But what's been going on the last few years? You've done a lot when it comes to systemizing your business. You've been working with BTA, like you said, for 7 years doing this. Yeah, give us a bit of a walk by or play by play on what's been going on.
Yeah, we started our electrical company. I have a business partner, Jeff Nunes, who everyone knows. And, you know, for a few years, we stumbled and bumbled our way along, you know, didn't really get any traction. We sort of knew we needed a business coach. We wanted business coaching specifically for trades. Stumbled upon Breakthrough Academy. I believe it was a cold call from you guys. And we were like, wow, this is for trades. Met with you. And then, you know, it's been 7 years of implementing systems, literally, you know, starting with our pain points. You know, back in the day, it was financial. You know, we didn't have financial systems in place. We weren't job costing or making budgets. And so, yeah, man, I feel like I've been implementing systems for 7 years straight. And if you looked at my MVP file, you would see these huge lists of things that I've implemented that Coach Ian will copy and paste and put in a list. And only now, I think after 7 years, I'm kind of getting down to the point where I'm like, I'm running out of things to implement. Yeah, but I'm sure I could keep going a few more years.
You've reached the end of the matrix, this inevitable end.
I think I'm a good example of like a polished, finished Breakthrough Academy student in a way.
I think you are too. I think that's why we're on this podcast together. So you said to me during our prep call, like the business is just a list of systems. And you said like 50 systems is kind of just a number, but like, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, like I was just saying there, you come into Breakthrough Academy, you have all these pain points. Your business is kind of out of control. It's running you basically. And the reason that I see with a lot of other businesses is there's a massive lack of systems, massive lack. And so, you know, you start with your pain points, things that you're really bad at. You know, for me, it was the finances, and you start building systems around there, and you go from there. And you know, now I'm at the end and I'm working on little things like SEO, you know, these little things that I've let lapse over the years that, you know, now I'm finally getting to that. I'm like, oh yeah, I really let that go. I need to work on that. But yeah, that's what I mean by that. It's you start off with this business with no systems, and you end up, hopefully like me, with a lot of systems and automated systems that you're not doing every day. So
you're kind of like replacing yourself. What was the creative process in your brain to figure out a way to go do something that you did manually for so long, identify a pattern in that, and then see how do we automate that? Is that kind of what you've been doing?
Exactly. And you know these businesses, right? That if you are all the systems, it's messy, it's chaotic, and you know, you're just running this messy business that's taking over your life. Like it's not pretty.
I think a lot of people, the two reasons for it too is like, one, they just say they're too busy, so they don't prioritize the time behind it. But I think there's also a feeling of being needed where like, you know what, like that is what I do. So like, and that's what I'm really good at doing. And if I don't do that, can I really trust that it'll be done as well by somebody else or something else? And so you kind of hold on to it a little too long. And I watch a lot of us as we grow, we have like these original jobs, which is like starting the business, doing all the pieces of everything. But then our job evolves and we take on two jobs and then three jobs. And that's that old adage of like, how many hats are you wearing? It's like every year your job evolves. But if you don't make change, you get left behind. And you go, who has this said this to me? It's like, you're either going to be riding the horse off into the sunset with growth, or you're going to be eating the shit out of the back of it.
I think essentially if you don't build systems in, you end up spinning your wheels, really, right? Your revenue might go up. You're getting busier and busier. And then essentially, people just start saying things like, oh, they're having growing pains. But really, you're not having growing pains. There's a lack of systems. And that's what it looks like to everyone outside.
For somebody listening right now, what's just like some identifiers that they could be like, right, yeah, I need to do that. Like, what are some things that are just like, if you're feeling this, or if you're seeing this, or if you're noticing this, like, this is a sign. What are the signals?
I think, well, the big one is, you know, I start off as an electrician. You might be a plumber, whatever. Once you own the business, you are not an electrician anymore. And people really hold on to this. And I think it a time has to come where you say to yourself, like, I am a business owner now. So recently, I actually let my electrical license lapse, right? That was me saying to myself, I'm not an electrician anymore, right? Let's stop fooling ourselves here. I'm just not an electrician. I am now a business owner. And my job is to run the business. And these guys, you know, they hold on to those tools forever, right? And sometimes I tell them, you got to get rid of your tools, literally get rid of your truck, get a little car, don't have hand tools, because you will be sucked into that job site.
Yeah, that's the first step, eh? It's just getting off the job. And I see that with everybody. It's just like, I've got to get off the job site. Then I've got to be able to get some people on that job site. Then I've got to get people to help manage that job site. Then I've got to get people to manage those people and so on and so forth. And it continues, I guess, is what you're saying.
I'm a good delegator. I like delegating. It doesn't like, you know, pain me at all, but I know some, it is hard for some people to sort of let go. I like to give people a chance to flourish. Like, do, you know, I see what their potential is sometimes. It's like, yeah, you can absolutely do this. Go for it, man. Make some mistakes.
There's a lot of trust, and the ability to have some grace in making yourself obsolete is kind of what I think about a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would lie. This has been my goal from day one is to run myself out of the business, essentially. You know what I've been telling people? I'm actually a horrible expense for the business. I'm like a Playboy salesman that rolls around going for lunches and shaking hands and networking. Like, I'm a horrible expense, actually, if you think about it.
Make yourself a horrible expense. There's a motto. Right. You put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I wanted to get into one specific area. There's so many things we could get into today, but when it comes to the customer journey, there's some really cool systems you've built around this. I think some of them are fairly innovative. Some of them are standard, but I don't think a lot of people do. So are you cool? We prepped a few of these, but are you cool? We go through these step by step. And I just want to walk everybody through what you built when it comes to the customer journey, give them perspective on how they can do this for themselves. And just, yeah, like the flow of how this all kind of rolls out. Is that cool?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
So let's start with like when an estimate is actually set up, what are the systems, processes, automations? What have you done there to really start to streamline that process versus having it be manual?
Yes. So I think you're talking about the client guide. You know, so Jobber has, well, I use Jobber for my CRM. I connect it with Zapier to sort of make it even more powerful than it is straight out of the box. And so first off, for these CRMs, I just want everyone to make sure you're actually using the features of your CRM. I see this a lot. People, everyone says you need this CRM, go get it, you know, sign yourself up. And they'll sort of half-ass use it, right? They won't actually use all the features. So if you have an estimate, so in Jobber, this is the flow we're talking about right now. My first step would be to add the client to Jobber, right? Do not make a task in your calendar and just, you know, meeting Bob and Cindy 3 o'clock on Wednesday. That doesn't do anyone any good. That's just an easy little thing you're doing for yourself. Add the client into Jobber, into your CRM. The trigger for my Zap is new client, right? So anytime I add a new client, so they've called, hey, Corey, I got a job. I want you to come look at it on Thursday. No problem. I'm adding them to Jobber. As soon as I add them to Jobber, they are getting sent a welcome email, right? Hey, nice to meet you guys. Thanks for giving us a shot. Can't wait to meet you to look at your job. Attached to the welcome email is a client onboarding guide. Now, I would probably call it client guide for their sake, but really the sneaky part of it is we are onboarding the client. So they are getting this 4 or 5 days ahead, right? And you can imagine your competitors aren't doing this at all, right? So if they've called 3 electricians, you're the only one that sent this welcome email. You're the only one that did the client guide. The client guide is walking them through your process, showing them the team. Here's our 5-step process. Any awards, your Google reviews, beautiful pictures. So, you know, what I find when the client is most happy is when they feel like they've been taken care of, right? So instead of getting nothing, they are getting a whole guide of you showing them like, hey, we've done this before. We got you. We're walking you through this process. Then make sure you schedule the assessment into Jobber because they are going to start getting reminders, email reminders, a text message with your face. Hey, Corey's on his way for the estimate. These are all little like created touch points, right? We're creating these. No one else is doing it. And you are sort of treating them like your client even before they are your client. Like they haven't even approved a job, but you are sort of assimilating them into your system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you're building a relationship with them before you've even met them. And you're doing a lot of the heavy lifting that you usually do at the estimate manually with yourself or with your sales rep. You're taking, let's say, half an hour of that work kind of right off the table because they're already getting to know you before they even meet you, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
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 It's simple, yeah. But it's one of those things I've noticed for a ton of people, it's missed. And then you go do all the heavy lifting yourself, or you have your sales reps going and doing all the heavy lifting themselves. And let's say that's half an hour per estimate in time saved or relationship building that gets to evolve to the next level. You amplify that, not just by yourself, but by your team's time. That's massive. So,
and I get emails back all the time. Like, wow, Corey, this is amazing. Like you could tell they're sucked right in. In fact, I just signed up for a golf app the other day and they onboarded me. So we are being onboarded from other, you know, products, right? So I signed up for this app. It was day one of being a pro user. Day two of being a pro user, day three. So I actually might build on to this automation and add some additional things. I don't want to overdo it with people, and you do want to give value when you're doing that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, you're getting onboarded all over the place. You might not notice it, but you are.
Psychology is we're going to be working together right from the get-go.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Cool. I love that. And you know, as well as I do, sometimes these clients say, they'll let the cat out of the bag. They'll say, oh, we're thinking of getting this in the calendar next week or in 3 weeks. They're telling you, you already have the job.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we've sent out an onboarding email. We've got some automations. Actually, do you mind sharing what is the actual automation? Like, is it a text, an email? What's the timing? 1 week out, 2 days out, like 1 hour out? Like, How do you set up those reminders in a way that makes sense?
So the trigger in Zapier or Make or whatever you want to use for your automations is every time a new client is added to Jobber. So it goes out right away.
Yep.
So the other thing I like about these is you seem really on the ball, right? If you were going to do this manually without an automation, you would never be on the ball. You would never do it this consistently.
Do you know the cadence though? What's the actual cadence of like, once they're in, they get an email, then they got a text reminder. Like what is the actual, do you know the cadence that leading up to that meeting hits?
Jobber would do 24 hours in advance. Well, actually when you book the call, they get an email. 24 hours in advance, they get another email. And I think the day of, they get a text message with your picture.
Okay. What's the difference in the meetings that you've had with this where it's been automated and going versus like you've done it manually? What's the biggest difference you've noticed?
So I'm always automating it. So, but I can tell you the difference. I just had a painting company in my house and I know they use Jobber. It's a good friend of mine. I love the guy. But what I noticed was there was no welcome email. There was no appointment reminders. So I know he didn't schedule the assessment, right? And then there was no text message like, hey, I'm on the way. So you're getting zero. You're basically ghosted in a way. Then when the day of they came to actually do the painting, I was curious like, oh, do I need to move my cars? You know, like, and who's showing up? Can I message them? So what happens is because they don't have that system in place where Sarah is coming to paint your house and I can respond right now. Hey, Sarah, do you want me to move the cars for you guys? What happens because there's no system, you're texting the owner,
right?
Right. Hey, Bob, your guys are showing up at my house, right? And this is exactly what you don't want as the owner, right? You want to be free. You're supposed to be out going to get a new job. Right. But there's a lack of a system there. And so it's like, it drags you back in. Right.
Yeah. So you're not only creating good communication for them, but you're actually giving them an outlet to communicate back with your team through the text and the email that they reply through.
For sure.
Cool.
For sure. And I have this going all the way through the client journey.
So let's get into the next one. We talked about virtual video quoting, which I think during COVID became very popular. Sounds like you've kept on with it. I'd just love to know, like, how does it work? What's the pros and cons of this? You've kept this going post-COVID. So how are you finding it?
I've kept it going and I am roping in trades left and right to doing this. Other electricians, other trades. You know the area we're in. Traffic is so bad. I used to line up all my quotes on the same day. I would drive. I would do like a lap of the Lower Mainland. I would come home rattled, so rattled from traffic. Then hopefully I had the whole next day blocked off to actually work on these quotes, you know, so I'd have all this information I was trying to remember. Boom, COVID hit. I was like, we should be doing these by video. This is silly. You know, as soon as you do a video quote and it goes okay, you're like, why have I been driving to these? Like, you feel like an idiot. So I use a software called Live Switch. Unbelievable company. Great people over there. It is unlike, say, Zoom or FaceTime or WhatsApp, it is built for this, right? So not everyone has FaceTime, not everyone has WhatsApp. And to use Zoom, the client has to download Zoom on their phone. So these are all like barriers, right? Mm-hmm. With Live Switch, I'm in my browser. There's a browser extension. There's also an integration with Jobber. I literally click the icon. I say, send message to the client. It texts the link for the video call right to their phone. All they do is hit the link. Boom, it opens up a video call in the browser. There I am. So there's little things. The camera is already facing the back because they're going to be showing you around. It automatically records the call. Everything, I can also add in pictures while you're doing the video call. So you can take screenshots. You can take notes and it all ends up in a project tab in your Live Switch. So now I literally have Live Switch going on one screen. I have Jobber on my other screen, right? I'm making up my estimate as they are showing me around. Boom, boom, boom. I'm adding things in. By the end of the call, I'm pretty much ready to send off that estimate. It's unbelievable. And I'll be honest with you. So many people, and I have them all recorded, say,
why isn't everyone doing this? They're like, they love it, right? You don't have someone coming to your house. It's so nice.
The biggest thing, like, and even when you told me this, even I had a bit of like, because like we do Zoom sales. This is how Breakthrough Academy does it. We can't travel to, you know, everyone's state and meet them all. Sure. But when I go back to my contractor days of going into the home and doing the quote and walking, there was a relationship built there that I would be like hesitant to let go of. And I can imagine people listening being like, yeah, but it, like, what are you losing in all of this? So I'd be curious to know, like, you have a pretty good objective perspective of this. Like, what are the true pros of this, which you've just mentioned some. What are the cons as well, though?
So I'll tell you that my quote approval rating has never changed.
Interesting.
So I've always hovered like 48% of my quotes I get. Like, it's never really changed. People talk about the relationship, but remember, even like right now, we are very face-to-face. And when you do a FaceTime call, who are you usually doing it with? You're doing it with like your grandma, your kids, your wife. It actually is very personal. You're literally looking at the person in their face. You're not looking anywhere else. I had one with an old guy. He sat down with the video call. He had a coffee. And I was like, oh, I guess we're just going to have a chat. And we just had like a 20-minute chat about the world and life. And I loved it. I had a coffee. It must have been an early morning one. I was like, this is great. And we were just chatting away. So I just haven't noticed much of a difference. I'm not super hardcore about it, though. If someone wants to meet in person or it's a large renovation, and yesterday I was in North Van, I did a full walk around with an owner, and I loved being on site. It was great. I'm happy to do it. But for an EV charger, a hot tub hookup, we're going to add 4 pot lights. We can at least try to do it on video. And if we have to default to, hey, I'll pop out on Thursday, that's fine. We can do that.
I noticed you did this with me when we had add-ons. You came out, I think maybe we're friends. So you came out and visited me and we went through the quote, but then there was like things later on that I wanted to go do and you just popped in on with me. And I don't know if you're on video. I just remember sitting, walking around with you and you saved yourself that trip and I got the answers I needed. I was totally fine with it. So,
And I'm like, I bring over 20 years of electrical experience. So like when I'm looking at your house, I know like, oh, is that T-bar ceiling? I'm looking. I know which way the beams are running.
Yeah.
Like even through video, I'm like, oh, I can see your joists probably go left to right. We can actually fish down there. You know, so I'm pretty educated in it.
I want to mention one thing too. We had said like, hey, the relationship still goes well on video. There's something you did prior, which we just talked about, which is you sent an onboarding package, which also does help build that relationship. Like you've built into that in the automations and sequences as well. Beyond it being just you manually. So
absolutely. I mean, we have the most Google reviews in the lower mainland. So they are finding us, right? There's a lot of proof there. Wow, these guys are great. The thing about these virtuals too, you can get to them so quick, right? You call today. Well, let's hop on right now. There's another feature though that's great for existing clients. You can send them a link for them to do a recording. So like if you were like, hey, Corey, I got these 3 other things or whatever. Maybe I'm busy. We don't really need to jump on or we feel really comfortable with each other. I just send you the link. Boom, you record the video. I'm not even on the video, right? You're going, hey, Corey, I don't know. I'm thinking, can you change the light in this room? Here's the height. So there's some extra little goodies there.
Again, it's opening the line of communication versus shutting it down. You're using technology to create more constant back and forth with your client.
You know what they're doing anyway. They're going to text you a million times or they're going to email you a bunch of times. So wouldn't you rather have a video?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So quote goes out. And actually, I have one more question on this. You mentioned already, but I would love to know estimates. How much time are you saving? So between drive time, it sounds like you're also doing the quote while you're like live with them. How many hours a week do you think this actually saves?
So this year, we've probably sent out more quotes than we've ever sent out. I've reined this back a little bit, but I had 2 estimators twice a week and then me on top of them. So those guys were spending a 10-hour day because we work 4/10.
Okay.
They were doing a 10-hour day of estimates, back-to-back 1-hour time slots. Now, they don't take an hour, but that was 20 virtual estimates, just those two. I would also be doing something, and then we have
another electrician that's actually in Nicaragua right now, and he is doing quotes from like specs and pictures. So like, I can't imagine someone is banging these quotes out faster than we are, you know?
Yeah, it's not even just a time saver. It's like a growth strategy. Like you're able to like amplify your ability to quote way faster with way more quotes going out per week with less people, with a bit less human capital time.
I think there was some weeks we were hitting like 50 quotes a week.
Wow. Yeah.
Right.
So that's three and a half people or 2.5 people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's slowed down a bit. And so not so much. But yeah, that's like at our peak. I couldn't believe how many quotes we were doing.
Things are a little different now. Okay. So quote goes out. What's the post quote send out process?
So some of this is built into Jobber, right? So every CRM is going to have some sort of follow-up. I think it's important for everyone to make sure you're using all of those follow-ups. So out of the box, Jobber will do 2 email follow-ups. Then they will also put a reminder in your calendar. Whoever did the quote, they're going to put a reminder in the calendar for like 3 days later to call the client, right? So we're doing a few email follow-ups, and then literally I'm picking up the phone. Hey, Bob, do you want to get this done? Like, what's the deal? Do you got any questions? You know, now before people would use MailChimp and stuff like that, Jobber has sort of built this in now. All these CRMs are getting better and better and better, more features. Now you can set up automated follow-up. So I have a few more. I have one that goes out a month later, kind of a last ditch effort email. Hey, we'd love to do this job. We want to fill up our calendar. If we paid the GST, would you like to move forward? You know, something like that. So I believe that's all I have going for estimates right now. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. So it's 4 follow-ups.
Where do you get the most response from? Is it the first one, the last one? Is there, where are you seeing some of this like kind of winning jobs you probably normally wouldn't?
Well, the one I'm calling, you know, you're literally getting them on the phone, but one of those first 2 emails that goes out typically will get a response. I did just get a response today from the 1 month email later, and that guy said, hey, we'll be in contact. So, you know, at least I'm top of mind again, you know, at least he hasn't forgotten about me, and he did say they'll be in contact. So you never know. Some people go on holidays, or they're just, you know, they got a lot on their plate and they just need more time. So
there's one thing I called out our entire industry on is this follow-up. I think a lot of us will get so busy. We do the quote and we just kind of leave it. And we're just like, well, we don't want to bug them, or I'm so busy, I just forgot to be honest. And you leave it. And there's, I don't know, you give me a percentage, but how many jobs are won or lost on this follow-up?
Yeah, that's a tough one for me to say. That's a tough one. I would say if you had to put a percentage, like what if you got a quarter from one of those follow-ups? Now, maybe they were going to do the job anyways, but, or even the GST one, maybe you get 1 or 2 extra jobs. Like that could be 20 grand of revenue, 50 grand of revenue. You never know. Like even if it's just a little bit.
Small increments over time.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's one job that you never got. I have other ones, you know, other automations where we reach out a year later, right? A year after you're done the job. You know how many people respond to this 1 year later email? Oh, Corey, I'm so glad you, and it's all automated, right? Like I didn't actually email, but it's like, I'm so glad you reached out. Our other bathroom fan is making a lot of noise. Can I get you guys booked in again? Yep. No problem.
So I have some data on this for us, but it's about 15% of the new clients basically that we bring in this year come from last year's leads, which is really interesting. And it comes from consistent follow-up over time. And some of it is automated. Some of it is personalized. But if there was a message in this, it's not just automation. It's the fact that like we'll often give up on somebody within a couple of weeks because we're kind of like, they didn't call us back. One thing I found, so it's almost 20 years I've been doing follow-up in my life. It's not necessarily that people want to or don't want to do the job. It's that you're lower on the priority list. So to get work, often you're kind of like, this customer is number 1 on my priority list. But for them, you might be number 52. And that's okay.
Yep.
And over the course of 6 months or a year, long-term follow-up like this can work because people's priority lists change. And if you've disconnected from them, you're not there to be able to pick up the work when they're ready for it. So
yeah, I really believe you want to be top of mind. Right. You might even like posting on Instagram. that you're not going to get a bunch of jobs, but like just being top of mind at the right time sometimes can be huge.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the quote is approved now. So we're going from the sales to the production handoff. What's your process around this?
Huge. I love this one. Jobber kind of has this built in, but it's not as powerful as I would like it to be. So I built my own. So the trigger again will be anytime a quote is approved, right? That's the trigger. What I've done is a couple things. An email goes out to the client right then and there. So this is the important part, right? Maybe you paid like a $5,000 deposit, but if you're not in the office right at that time, that client is like kind of, they're not getting anything, right? You know, like you just gave all your money and you're not like getting a response because you're not in the office, you're doing something else. So immediately, hey, thanks for approving that quote, right? We got your deposit. This is a sales to production handoff email. And so this email that goes out automatically has my production manager in it. It has me in it as the like head sales guy, and it has the client in it, everyone in it. This one actually even says this is an automated email, right? So I'm not even faking that it's a real email. And it's just saying, hey, thanks for approving that quote. I want to introduce you to our project manager, production coordinator, whatever you want to call it. He's going to take you the rest of the way. If you've got any questions, this is your guy. Here's his phone number. Here's his email. And he's going to be reaching out within 24 hours to get this job booked in, right? And so this frees up your sales staff, right? We need to be going to get new work. We don't want to be sucked into production. I hate it. And I want production to own this job, right? So with that email, I am saying to your production coordinator, this is your baby now. This human that is now relying on you.
You have an automated way to make sure once that thing's changed in Jobber, it's automatically going into somebody else's world. And they have a trigger, they see it in their email. Is it just a handoff with like everyone introduced to each other? Or is there something in that email as well? Like
That is just an email. I do have also, like we use Asana for production. So all of their line items and the information from the job automatically bounces over to Asana, and now it's on a production board, right? So it's this, you know, it's got the, what's that, Kanban, it's called. It's got like needs to be scheduled, needs an electrical permit, materials need to be ordered, right? Rough wire needs to be scheduled. Finishing needs to be scheduled. Like, it's got everything for the production. So nothing is falling through the cracks. It cannot fall through the cracks unless you are ignoring your Asana reminders, basically. And you can go on that board and I can see where every job is in our system in one spot.
And it happens immediately upon approval versus, hey, you haven't sent me the details on this job. It's been a week. We're starting next week. What's the deal? It's that day. Done.
Yeah. It's automated.
Now, this is amazing. So that's then the case. Now you've gone and done the work. You've got one other thing we talked about, which was the upsell email. Do you want to speak through that a bit?
So what's been happening to us over the last few years, we've been sort of going in the direction of more of a service company. So our revenue's been actually going down while our gross margin last year was its highest ever. And that's because we're doing more service. But I'm realizing now like, oof, doing service all the time it's tough to move revenue. So this is the whole idea of these systems. You have a pain point, right? What's the pain point? My revenue per job, my average job size is going down. What can I do to combat that? Let's create a system, right? What can I do to get more out of these clients? Well, we're already going there. You know, would you like any dimmers installed? Would you like a surge protector? Can we change the batteries on your smoke detector? How's your panel directory? Is it super messy? Can we fix it up? Right. And so this is a newer one. I just kind of implemented it, but I'm already seeing some people respond like, oh yeah, yeah. Like bring a dimmer when you come. So I'm adding this. I was actually trying to add it as an upsell email. I actually put this on every quote now that goes out. So it's on every single quote.
Have you quantified like the average ticket value increase at all? Or do you have a rough idea of what it's doing?
No, I need more time. I need more time to look at the data, right? But yeah, last year, our average job size has been going way down. You know, we're down to $1,000 now. So I need to
bring it back up.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's honestly, this is just, it's another pain point I have, and I'm implementing a system to combat the pain point.
Yeah. It's interesting. Everything we've talked about so far, it doesn't involve more of your time. It's not like we need to go fix a problem. I will go fix it. You're like, I will go fix it once well, so that it doesn't involve more of me or even lots of time, my team's time. Like, I'm clearing out obstacles versus creating more.
Yeah. Low, not even a lot of money either, right? Low time from us and low amount of money, but really freeing you up and removing chaos from your business. This is the main one. You know, lack of systems is going to equal chaos for sure.
And for some people, they're just like, we don't take time doing this, or we just don't prioritize it. Or sometimes people are just like, I just don't even know where to start. Some of us are not comfortable with technology, right? So it's like they just want to do things manually. But let's speak to this like upkeep and adoption side, because I think you've done a really good job of this. I think it does come naturally to you a little more. But if we were to speak to this for everyone sure. listening, like, how often do you review these systems? How often do you update this stuff? How do you figure out these types of solutions? Because for some of us, it does. It comes natural. I'll just ChatGPT stuff. I'll Google stuff. But how are you doing it? And what advice would you give for people that want to look into doing this for themselves?
I heard a term the other day, YouTube University, right? I'm just an electrician from Mission. I'm, you know what I mean, man? I was sort of an Apple nerd, you know, I liked going to Best Buy, buying the latest, you know, tech, the latest drone. And now it's sort of filtered into my business, but all the answers for this sort of simple stuff are definitely on YouTube. You know, the other thing I would say about these automations, they're like, it's like a investment, you know, you do it once and now it's rolling. So it's like, you are gaining back way more time than you actually spent building it. And these aren't, I would say just get them done. Don't worry about making them perfect. I wanted to shout out like Ryan Lermit, Umbrella Property Service. This guy will get a nugget or an idea in a meeting. I guarantee you next week it is implemented. Right. And they might not all be perfect, but they are implemented. Like, let's get them done.
I think a lot of this is an analogy of just like your home, like you're building into your asset. And so you're adding a new feature or a new element or something that really like not only like works for your organization, but it actually brings real tangible value. Should you ever sell or should you ever want to be evaluated? It's all these things that bring value versus just building a job where you're just saving time on the money or money on the time that you're putting in for the week because you're out there doing it yourself and you just want to take care of stuff. It's like, no, I need to build the asset more than I need to go and just like take care of it this week.
It's actually, without the systems, it's actually not doable. You can grind on your business 1 year and maybe make it happen and you go, wow, that was a good year, but you won't be able to duplicate it year after year. And if you get busy, then things really go astray. When we get busy, we are just doing more of our systems. Like, you don't see the cracks. There is no growing pains when we're busy. We're just following our systems. It's very boring, you know? And the opposite would be, yeah, you are grinding hard on your business. Like, I talked to a roofer the other day. He did like $4 million of revenue with no systems. And I was like, wow, that's amazing, of course. And then he was like, yeah, but I couldn't do it again.
Yeah.
There's no way. People were pissed off. He was losing employees. He was burnt out, right? So that's the reality of it.
I use this analogy when we talk about strategic planning, but this thought of like, we're going to double the business, right? So everyone goes, okay, we're going to go from 2 million to 4 million. Like, let's go. And everyone's excited because it's growth. But I'm like, no, like what's arguably more important than the dollar of those numbers doubling is the organizational systems that need to be in place for that to happen. And I use this really weird analogy. Corey, have you ever played World of Warcraft?
Yes.
This is so like, do you know how like you start as a level one and you're in a level one land and you're killing little rabbits and you're and slowly you upgrade yourself and slowly you add more armor and a better sword and new magic abilities and you can go to more advanced lands and you can kill that same like giant monster the same way you killed that rabbit in level one because you're equipped for it. And what I watch a lot of us do is we go from like level one to level 12 or level 20 with no new armor, with no ability. And we're just like struggling to kill these things, these beasts that could come into our businesses because we didn't equip ourselves or level up our businesses along the way. We just focused on the growth.
Oh, yeah. And that you will see those guys. They will. This is why they're not seeing their kids. They are burnt the hell out. They're not hanging out with the wife. Your business doesn't have to be chaotic like that. Jeff and I have always said, like, we might not have the greatest numbers ever, but like, at least we have like a calm, stress-free business. I've always been really proud of that.
This you wanted to do the entire podcast on this piece, but I do want to talk to you about your life because you've got a lot of freedom. What was the quote you said? Corey is the happiest guy in the room is what your wife called you.
Yeah.
Can you speak to this? Like, how has this impacted your life? How do you run your business? What's the result of putting systems in place while you've grown? What's the reward at the end of the tunnel?
I just think if I was battling with employees or battling with clients or other trades, or I had a lot of chaos in my business, it's not worth it for me. Like, I would rather just not do it. I'll do something else. And so these are like, you know, adding systems and keeping the business stress-free was like, I guess, number one. And we've done it, I guess. You know, if maybe finances was more important to me, I would have gone in a different direction, but it wasn't. I'm not going to like miss time with my kids or be home and be rattled for some extra revenue. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just not worth it to me. I feel like this life is so short. I want to be as happy as I can.
Yeah. You won't compromise your life for your business, which I think a lot of us fall in the trap to. I'll put my hand up and say, I fall into the trap of that sometimes. So even though you can talk about this stuff, it's like, it's hard to have that mindset. Where does that come from?
Oh man. I think I have a lot of gratitude, and I think I think it's very like ingrained in me. I don't know where I came up with this, but it's like life is so short. And so like certain things just aren't worth it to me. Like I don't want to have an argument with someone. It's just not worth it to me. You know what I mean? Like, oh, so I could win the argument maybe, or beat that person down. It's like life's too short. I'm just not interested in it. You know, I worked at your house. You were like, hey, did you make money on this job? I go, I don't even know if I did. But it was like, once I'm working for a friend, I just don't care about that part. I literally don't care about it. It's not on my mind. I'm not looking into it.
You detach from the like emotional roller coaster that can be the business, and you just see it as like, it's a part of my life, but it's not my entire life. It's not who you identify to be, I think, from what I know about you.
Well, so Winter Summit, we wrote our eulogies, right? Mm-hmm. And there was only, I guarantee there's only a couple guys in that room that wrote about their job,
right?
Or their business. Everything I wrote down, I didn't write one thing about Van City Electric. Literally wasn't important. It was so low on the list of priorities of things that you would say in your eulogy or want someone to say about you of important things. Your business wouldn't be on there.
Yeah. I'll tell this one story, but I remember going to Thailand with my wife for a little while, and then we had a month alone as well. So she went back, and at the end of that month alone, I realized everything I'd built in business was like the least of my worries, or at least of my thoughts that I wanted to come back to. The thing I missed the most was my wife. And I was just like, there's nothing more that I want to do than be with you. And yeah, at the time we weren't even married. We were just dating, and I didn't even know for sure if we were going to get married. This actually secured my decision on this, because I was like, when I'm away from it all, what's the one thing I care about? And although I spent 80 hours a week often on this business that I was building, this is way back when I had the painting company, I didn't care about it. Like, all I cared about was my wife and my family, and well, not yet to be family, but my wife or my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think the example they gave was like, if Steph Curry was writing his eulogy, he wouldn't write like, wow, he was a great 3-point shooter. Like, that wouldn't be on there.
So let's tie these thoughts together a bit, because we're talking about systems and now we're talking about your life, two very different things, but why are you so focused on building systems? How has this created a good life? Like, what's the connection here?
I do. So we are talking about business systems, but I actually build these into my own life, these little mini systems. So like a mini system would be, when I'm done for the day, I try to leave my phone in the office, right? That would be like a little mini system that I created for myself, because if I have my phone around upstairs, I'm going to want to go on it and I'm going to go on Facebook or LinkedIn. So when the phone's not around, all of a sudden you'll find yourself playing tag in the backyard, right? But if that phone was locked on you, you're just not going to do it. These are like little systems that sort of keep the fluff out of my life, keep me happy. You know, we were talking about the Mexico house builds. Again, this is like a system. So for the viewers, Breakthrough Academy took us down to Mexico. We built two houses before COVID. Then COVID hit, so we didn't go down for a while. We went back after COVID. We built another two. Essentially at that time, I was kind of like, I really feel like I need to do my own house. Like I just felt a pull to it. And so I paid the deposit. I found 30 people. And my wife thought I was nuts, of course, and raised the money. And we went down and we built our own house. And then, of course, after that, I was like, you know, again, this is a system. I was like, I think I need to do it every year, you know. Because it just brings me a lot of joy and perspective and gratitude when I do those trips. It's just like a thing that I need in my life every year, you know, and I would probably go twice a year if I could afford it or she would let me, but that's a system I've built in my life. Like now I'm going every year. It's like, it's not really up for question.
I find it is also just like a mindset. So like, how do I choose to solve problems? Do I choose to solve them through my own grit and determination and my own aspirations for what I can do and the heavy lifting that I can go take on, which, you know, I'll say like, I have that ingrained in me. Like I have this, like, I will just like go outwork everybody to fix the problems. And it's like a something that as I'm getting older, I'm like needing to let go of very intentionally, where I think it's bred in you a little bit where you're just like, I don't need to go do this myself. I need to solve the problem, but it's not going to be through me. I've got more valuable things in life to show up for. And it's a general way to look at problem solving as an entrepreneur, because you can go one of two different directions. I think
I am bad as well. Like, you know, I just like, I would try to put up a fence on my own, which is ridiculous. Like you can't do it, you know? So you do need to ask for help. But yeah, I mean, the house can get built and it's like, I'm not hammering every nail, mm-hmm. You know, you're bringing a group down and you're doing it together.
I find it comes from early days. I find that you have to have that, like, I'll do it myself mentality when you first start, because sure. No one's going to do it for you. And it's kind of a hard thing to divorce as you get bigger. And you do have to be very intentional about it. Otherwise, it just creeps in where you're just like, I'll just do it myself. I'll just take care of myself. I'll just fix it. Whereas the last 7 years, Corey, from what I've noticed from you, like, you've just been like, okay, well, how do we automate this? How do we systemize this? How do we build a process around this? And you're going to a different part of your brain when you do that.
Yeah. I just talked to Sarah from OBO and we both lost a few employees. Like two of my guys quit and a main girl of hers quit. And we both sort of realized like, oh yeah, it is just you on your own. You know, it's like, it's up to you. Like you took a hit, two people left and like no one's going to save your business. Like I gotta hire two more people. I gotta get the grind going.
And sometimes that is the reality too. And you gotta own it.
Yep.
So, let's close this out a bit. I would just love to know, like, on your end, what is one piece of advice out of everything we've talked about? You know, there's probably a few thousand people that are going to listen to this. What is like the one thing you want to leave everybody with? What's the one piece of advice or just encouragement that you'd give everyone on what we've talked about?
Sometimes I just want to say to people, like, get systemizing your business. Stop thinking about it and talking about it. I see guys, they have all the answers in the world in their head and they're still not, for whatever reason, getting this system done, getting the SOP built. I used to I'd put my son to bed and I would sit with Trainual and I'd be like writing up SOPs as he was like falling asleep beside me. There's ways to do it. Get them done. It's like 1 hour now saves you 100 hours later. And I think a lot of us are talking about it, but not doing it. You know, I met with an electrician a little while ago. He asked me a bunch of questions. And then you know what he said? I'll probably ask you the same questions in 6 months. I was like, no way, man. Don't do it. You know, go get these done and let's move on to the next problem.
Yeah. And for every year we don't do that is another year gone where we've just spent all this time doing things that have no forward momentum, no forward value.
Spinning your wheels. Yeah. You're spinning your wheels. You really are. You're not getting anywhere.
Man, we all do that, man. We can tell them it's a podcast, so we can't like control anybody listening to us, but it's like, I get it. And I will say I fall into that trap too sometimes where it's like, I just got to hunker in and get it done. My business partner, and you know Igor really well, he's phenomenal at taking the perspective of stepping back a little bit and saying, wait a minute, like what is the root issue here that we need to solve? And let's go solve for the long term. And this is like this discipline to say, what's the actual long-term fix here versus the short-term and constantly going on that long-term path.
Yeah. I mean, Breakthrough Academy is really good for sort of your goal setting and why are we setting these goals for a bigger, you know, a bigger picture idea. I'm trying to get to a certain place. Okay. These are the four goals I need to do to get to there. You know, I've probably never been so goal oriented since I joined Breakthrough Academy. So
almost to a fault. I find attainment can be great, but sometimes it's almost too much. Yeah. Cool. Good. Well, I think there's lots of nuggets in this. I think everyone listening, it gives you a little bit of a roadmap that Corey uses anyways for his customer journey, which is great. Overall encouragement is just pick something and start to work on it. One thing I always say is you don't need to go put 40 hours a week into this. Like 5 hours a week is probably plenty, but if it's consistent, if it's 5 hours a week, every week, I do mine on Fridays often. It's like, it just allows me to start to slowly work forward on things and still do my like reactionary ADD version of myself throughout some of the week, which I kind of need to. The business still needs me in the day to day. But that 5 hours on a Friday, it clears my mind. It gives me space to kind of get ready for my weekend and I can actually build towards the future with not so much like, I don't know, just like feeling like I'm in the weeds. So I clear it out and make some space for it.
Or just pick the one thing that's driving you crazy. Build a system around it. Boom. It's done now, right? If you're bad at hiring, build some systems around hiring, get them done, and then move on to the next thing that's driving you nuts. And then you'll just notice your business is like working for you. You're not working for the business. You're just, the chaos goes away. It's huge.
I want to end this, but there's one more thing you just reminded me of. This idea that like, we probably work 40 hours a week in our actual role in the company. And we probably work another 30 to 40 hours a week putting out fires. And that's why some of this is also so hard to do, because you're kind of like, you're already working too much. And you're like, now I got to add more time to solve for systems in my business. But I find like what you just said is like, if you just solve one thing, you cut back on a little bit of those fires. And 2 weeks from now, you'll feel that. You do another one and you feel that. And eventually you will get back down to somewhat of a normal place. But it's chipping away at the fires, because the fires, if not addressed appropriately or done once well, will keep popping up and will keep you in this like rabbit race, or what do we call it? Hamster wheel that we go after.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
Rabbit race. Anyways. Corey, thanks for being on with us, man. It was a lot of fun. Good luck with the next endeavors of all the systems you build, or go build some houses in Mexico. You go do you. We've loved working with you, man. And congrats on all the success.
Thank you very much.
Hey, man. I'll talk to you later.
See ya.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.